During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Stephen St. John and APU Katie with Jake Gutierrez on this Thursday, September 2nd, 2021. And right now we'll talk some baseball with Buster Olney from ESPN. And Buster having a tremendously long conversation with Jake Gutierrez. Buster, what was Jake filling your ears with just now?
How a major league executive cussed me out, behind the scenes.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Then that's what it was. And so we were going through that and the mechanics of, what I need to do next to correct that situation.
Well, Jake, you want to elaborate at all? Because that's a hell of an intro from Buster Olney. Oh, I know what you're talking about, but does Nate know?
No, Nate does not know.
Okay. We're not talking about this on the air, I assume.
Oh, we can, I'm sure. I mean, our regular guests.
It's fun. It's fun.
Because it was all done under joking.
Okay.
I don't want it to be.
I've certainly been cussed out by major league players and execs before.
Who's normally on at this time?
Let's play that game. Nate, do you remember our schedule?
Yes. I got you.
And so when I informed him that he wasn't coming on today because of Buster Olney, he had some choice words for Buster.
Right.
But all jokingly.
Right, in good fun. Buster, you like that. You know, it's, that means you're making a difference.
You're part of the show.
That's right.
So. Pretty sure JJ's cussed me out, in serious tones before.
Well, he should. I mean, I agree with him.
I would hope he did.
I don't even know what
he
was.
You probably deserved it.
Right.
But no.
You really think we ought to do that with our bullpen? You blah, 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 blah.
Oh,
but
wow.
I do want to take a moment. I always appreciate working with JJ. He's a fantastic guy, and he's always so gracious with his time, but he wasn't too happy about being bumped by you, Buster.
That's a big-time move, Buster. You're bumping out execs.
It's a power move on this show.
Yeah, wow.
People find out where they are.
I got to be honest. I might have to sit here and say, I don't know, Buster. In all due respect, I might have gone with the exec here. Jake making a big decision on your behalf.
I'm with Buster only on this one. Buster.
And JJ probably wouldn't feel comfortable talking about the Mets in the way that we're going to.
Right.
Yes, correct.
Boy, you read my mind. Yep. Here we go. So,
oh, boy.
People have called this show a train wreck in the past with good reason.
Yep.
But the Mets organization right now is a special kind of train wreck where you think, okay, this is rock bottom. It's not going to get... And by the way, I love their owner tweeting about everything.
Well, yeah, that's good.
It can't get any worse. And boy, oh boy, do they find a way to make it worse almost every single day, Buster. Give us the latest on the circus that is the New York Mets.
I had an executive with another team say to me last night, the Mets are a sitcom. It feels like that they have to, none of this could possibly be real. That they would have this set of circumstances that it would all have to be fictionalized and made up by somebody sitting at in a back room someplace. But it's so bad now that I've also had some other executives tell me that they're hearing from within the organization that this current situation actually makes the previous ownership, the Wilpons, who are often criticized as being far more functional than what we're seeing now. I mean, think about what's happened. You know, Steve Cohen hired, the highly respected Sandy Alderson to take over baseball ops and be the president of his team as he came in as owner. Well, the first guy that Sandy hired, because a lot of experienced people turned down the opportunity to go for that job, the first person Sandy hired to be head of baseball ops was Jared Porter, who subsequently got banned for sexual harassment, sending pictures of his private parts out. The guy who replaced him, Zach Scott, just got busted for DWI in White Plains, New York, found sleeping in his car.
And where was he?
Used a breathalyzer.
Where was he earlier that night?
He was at Steve Cohen's house. But I got to say, I find that to be irrelevant because I'm like, Zach Scott's a 40-year-old man, and whatever happened, he was at Steve Cohen's house at 8:30 at night for a charity event. That's got nothing to do with Zach Scott making a decision to drink and drive. and also to refuse a breathalyzer. Good luck standing it up in front of your players next time and saying, be accountable. And this is just 24 hours after Sandy Alderson felt compelled to stand up in front of his players and tell them, yeah, it's probably not a good idea to tell the paying customers how they should act when you guys are stinking up the joint. A team that lost 11 games in the standings in the month of August went from being 4.5 games up in first place in the National League East to being 7 games out. You know, I wrote a column last night saying at this point that if you're Steve Cohen, you are conscience clear to do anything you want. If you want a clean house, you have the right to do that at this point, given what we've seen. And I even haven't even mentioned the draft debacle where, you know, they were the one team that apparently didn't see the red flags on Kumar Rocker, and they took him at 10th overall and didn't sign him, just on and on and on and on. You know, the best move made by the front office this year is perceived to be the signing of Taiwan Walker, which happened only after the front office tried and failed to sign Trevor Bauer.
So, wow. Man, just imagine if they had that on their hands.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible how poor the performance has been. And so Steve Cohen wanted to bench Sandy Alderson or anybody below him. At this point, he'd be completely justified.
So I thought that Steve Cohen was, like you said, going to come in and the whole direction of the Mets was about to change. What? How much does he, like, do you trust him if he decides to clean house to make the right decisions this time around?
Well, first off, yes. Look, he's unusual. You know, his activity on social media, and that's drawn a lot of commentary within the sport, and people wonder, you know, what's behind that? Does he really need that much attention? You know, would it be better as he moves forward to change that habit? I think it scared away some people, some experienced executives, to go in there and do something. But you know what? You can't put what happened with Jared Porter, the sexual harassment, on Steve Cohen. You can't put Zach Scott's decision to, you know, to drink and drive on Steve Cohen. You know, Steve Cohen wasn't the one who somehow there's so little leadership within the Mets organization that Javi Baez feels like he's got to, you know, do thumbs down to the Mets team. So I don't think Steve's responsible for a lot of this. But to your point, I think they absolutely need new leadership in there. As Jeff Passan said on my podcast today, they need someone to come in and be a manager, and not literally the manager of the team, but someone to lead the organization. A name that's been kicked around a lot in baseball circles in recent days is David Stearns, who's a native New Yorker, grew up a Mets fan. He's the head of baseball ops for the Milwaukee Brewers. You know, Theo Epstein's name gets thrown out there. I don't think there's any chance that happens. You know, we'll see. I guess the one thing Steve Cohen could offer him, Long Island, to you know, try to change his mind. Eric Neander, who is the head of baseball ops for the Rays, is mentioned sometimes too. But they need someone to come in and completely change the culture there, because that thing is a train wreck.
Buster Olney is our guest. Oh boy, Buster, how do you follow up that talk about the New York Mets and their train wreck? Well, the Chicago White Sox, it's not a train wreck, but they're going through some difficult situations right now with their rotation, and clearly they're headed to the playoffs. But, man, if they're going to have issues with Lance Lynn and Lucas Giolito, they could be in some trouble. What about the starting rotation problems right now for the White Sox?
Yeah, and Tim Anderson, their all-star shortstop, went on the injured list yesterday because he's got a hamstring issue, second time this year. You know, we thought that the last weeks of the regular season for the White Sox would be all about, okay, lining up and preparing for the postseason. But with Tim Anderson, that's a concern. You know, this close to the start of the postseason, you wonder if he's actually going to be fully healthy. We don't know the severity of Lance Lynn. This might be a case where they're just going to give him a little time off and ramp him up for the postseason. Lucas Giolito, I think that's a serious concern. I don't know if you guys, you know, were watching at the moment that he got hurt the other day, but you could tell from his reaction, the hamstring issue that he had around his left knee, that's not a minor deal. And with a month to go in the regular season, that's something that's bound to, you know, still be there as we start the postseason.
Hey, Buster, let's talk about the Royals a little bit because, you know, we keep asking you about Salvador Perez and the amazing things he's done this season. He had a couple opportunities last night that didn't go well, but this last road trip was one of the more remarkable ones we've seen. And I'm just kind of curious now where you stand on anything new from Salvador Perez with 38 home runs on the season, playing 75% of his games at catcher.
Yeah, and you guys have seen, I'm sure, and talked about the stats, the milestones that he's achieving, you know, the different records for home runs for catchers. You know, we talked last week about how, you know, you love his approach where he's selling out, you know, using the information that he has to hunt fastballs, to take advantage of those situations and to be aggressive. That's really cool. I, you know, and doing other shows, people have asked me about Salvi Perez and, you know, this hot streak and whether or not it puts him in the MVP. No, it doesn't. The fact is that Shohei Ohtani could basically stop playing today and he's still going to win the MVP. The value is so extraordinarily high that I think he's got that wrapped up. I am going to be curious to see, you know, where Salvi finishes in the top 10 in the American League MVP voting. Because I assume Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is going to finish second. You know, Salvi probably is going to be somewhere in that 4-8 range.
That, which is still amazing.
Yep.
The Royals have an interesting situation coming along now where they've got this MJ Melendez who's got leading the minor leagues in home runs. He's got 34 now, I believe. I don't know if he hit one last night. But, he, you know, they moved him over to third base for a little bit to, I guess, maybe see if there's a way to fit him and Salvador Perez on the field as well. They've also worked Adalberto Mondesi over at third base a little bit. And I'm just kind of curious, when you look at some of the prospects that the Royals have, especially Melendez, how do you see them trying to fit this all together? Can they fit it all together going forward?
Yeah, and I mentioned to you last week that I feel like that they're in a perfect situation in terms of their catching and, you know, how to handle Salvi as he gets older. You know, some people might look at it as being, well, there's a log jam and you have to make a decision. You know, which guy are you going to choose? No, you could absolutely work the two of them in together, and you probably can put yourself in a position to get the most out of Salvi, whether he's catching, you know, half the games or even less than half the games, while keeping him in the lineup more often, because he's demonstrated, you know, how good he can be as a hitter. And we've seen this with catchers a lot, you know, because it seems like they gather so much information in playing their defensive position that they can deploy, that, you know, that they can apply that later in their careers. And so if you're the Royals, you're sitting here saying, boy, you know, what are the ways that we can keep you know, him in the lineup? But one of the ways is to, you know, to incorporate it basically a two catcher system. I was bullish on the Royals before the season started in terms of this being a year of progress. I feel that way still. It's still dependent on the starting pitchers and how they go. But you know, with Bobby Witt Jr. at some point, you know, going to be a factor. You know, with the way that to me the lineup is evolving, that this is a team next year that you're going to see them, you know, take a serious run and be closer to 81 wins than where they are now.
Buster Olney is our guest. Buster, Max Scherzer, I know he was dealing with a little bit of a hamstring issue, but he has been, no surprise, he's been terrific since he was acquired by the Dodgers, and the numbers he's put up has just been unbelievable. And he's faced the Astros, Phillies, the Mets twice, the Padres, and the Braves, and he has a 129 ERA, 50 strikeouts, and 5 walks in 35 innings since joining the Dodgers. And the Padres are on the verge of not making the playoffs, and I've heard you say this and other people say this a couple of times, that the Padres at one point thought they were about ready to acquire Scherzer, and not only did they not get him, but he ends up going to the Dodgers. And it's one player, but that could end up being the difference that keeps them out of the postseason. So I ask you, what happened? How did they not get him if they thought they were so close to getting him and let him slip away to their division rival?
Well, what I believe, and I don't think you know, Max will ever give all the details of what happened at the trade deadline. What I believe is that Max, with that full no trade clause, turned out to be the difference maker in those conversations. that, you know, given the, you know, the range of possibilities, and we heard about the Red Sox being interested. We heard that Max didn't want to, you know, play for the Mets, a team that he's pitched against a lot.
Why?
Yeah, I know, exactly. why? But let's face it, and I think the firing of Larry Rothschild in the middle of the season last week by the Padres sort of underscored the issues going on with that staff right now. You hear that, you know, not everybody's on the same page. I wouldn't at all be surprised if Max got some of that. And you can either, if your choice between that situation or the team that's the defending champion, and, you know, you've got Clayton Kershaw and Mookie Betts and team loaded with stars and seemingly ready to take another run, I wouldn't at all blame Max if he was the one who made the choice on where that trade wound up. Because when you look at the Dodgers right now, I mean, they were a great team to begin with, and it does seem like that the deal for Scherzer and Trey Turner have really, you know, refocused the players and got them moving forward. And I mean, they to me are the prohibitive favorites to win, to come out of the National League. The Rays are the best team in the American League right now, and we might have a repeat of the World Series we saw last year.
Buster Olney is our guest. Buster, now in September, teams can only expand the rosters by two players, and so. Oh, just overall, and we're gonna, and you know, Nate was talking about these rookies. Normally, we get a chance to see, and without getting to see them, it's disappointing for us in Kansas City. But just overall, being an avid rotisserie baseball enthusiast, I thought I was gonna like it because I used to get irritated when teams would add 10 or 15 to the bench, and like what the, you know, who's playing where, what the hell's going on. But now I kind of miss it, and so I don't like just you as a baseball fan. Better or worse the way it is now?
It's much better because you know what we're not going to see are the day after day of looking at box scores and seeing teams, you know, within games use 8, 9, 10 pitchers. Because as you know, that's a big reason why they went to this.
Right.
Because the feeling was, oh my God, you know, these September games with the way the pitchers were being deployed, you know, that was a big factor. There was also a growing sense that the big market teams would have an advantage because a team like the Yankees would be like, sure, we'll add everybody. We don't care if it's a little bit more expensive. And then there'd be some teams that have, you know, with less to work with in budgets that would say, well, we're out of contention. We're just not going to spend on it. And there was a disparity there. I heard that from team managers, you know, through the years. We feel like that's not fair. You know, if the team we're chasing has more players on their bench and they're facing some team that doesn't have extra guys in September, that's a competitive advantage. I personally like the standardization of it, and I don't like these September rosters where they were, you know, 35, 36 guys. That seemed ridiculous to me.
You know, I guess, like, one of the things that made me think about it, we have former Royals reliever Jamie Bluma in studio every week, and he was talking about how when he was in the minors with the Royals, they had a guy named Chris Hatcher, who was, I mean, like 30-plus bombs at AAA, but he was considered a 4A guy and just wasn't ever going to get that call to the majors. And then because of roster expansion, he got the call. And so for guys like that that maybe would never get a chance to get that cup of coffee, like in 98 he came up and ended up getting 15 at-bats with the Royals and was never in the majors ever again. It's like little stories like that. But I get it. I totally understand what you're talking about. But I always got a kick out of the, I don't know, career minor leaguer or the guy that wasn't going to get the call up to finally realize his dream and make it to the majors.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that, and I haven't checked on his recent progress, but a guy like that for me the whole year has been Rio Gomez. You know, Pedro Gomez, our you know, late great colleague who passed away the night of the Super Bowl this year, his son plays in the Red Sox organization. And all year, you know, I've been waiting, and I know a lot of friends have been waiting to see if at some point, you know, he might wind up being on the Red Sox and that expanded September roster. Let's face it, with the more confined roster, with the fact that the Red Sox are playing for their playoff lives, that's less likely to happen. I hope that it happens. You know, another example of that, you know, that type of situation, you got an expanded roster. Brett Bochy, who was the son of longtime Giants manager Bruce Bochy, you know, he got a September call-up. And I never forget Boats telling me the story about how, you know, the first day that he was with the team, it was a blowout, and Boats didn't get him into the game. And he got home, and his wife, Kim, just laid into him. Like, what are you doing? You could have brought him in. And instead, the next night, because of the game situation that developed, he brought him in with the bases loaded.
Oh, boy.
Like, no margin for error, and gave him a piece of advice, you know, which turned out to be immediately wrong. And Brett came back to the dugout and told him that. So you're right. September roster expansions, you know, you get some opportunities. I'm rooting for the Red Sox at some point to find a moment to have Rio Gomez on the major league roster and get him into a game.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hey, Buster, thanks so much for the good conversation. We will talk to you next week, sir.
Okay, guys. JJ, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
No, you're not. Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
No one, Buster.
Yeah, that's right.
What did JJ call him?
Called him a straight Buster.
No, he didn't say anything bad. He said, "Aw, screw Buster."
Oh, there it is. I like that.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't call any names. Just screw Buster for knocking me on my spot.
Okay, so I need.
I'm sorry, JJ. That was just supposed to be.
Do we? I need a minute or two.
Yeah,
can
you
I have
two?
It? Okay,
I'll give you whatever you want, buddy.
Because I'm mad at you a little bit.
What?
I've had it.
Uh oh.
Hold on.
Because something happened good. At the remote because of you.
Good.
It's not good.
I like it. If it made you mad,
I'm tired of it, having to answer this ridiculous, stupid question.
No, I'm not doing
repeatedly.
It.
Repeatedly. I'm not talking about the great
okay.
job.
All right.
It's something that you've perpetuated on this show. And so then I had a guy come up to me at Andy's Frozen Custard yesterday and asked me, like, he goes, I was hearing you talk, but is that really true? And I said, no, it's not true. Jake keeps saying this, and it's not true. And you got to stop it. This poor guy comes up to me, goes, I heard you guys talk. I didn't hear it. So the Central Michigan coach, he was a guy that was humping a shark in the pitch. Yeah. I said, listen,
it was.
It's not him.
That was the Jimmy Johns guy.
Jake keeps saying, it's not the Jimmy Johns guy. It was proof. The guy came out and admitted it was a...
Well, there's been a lot of coaches admit a lot of things that weren't true.
And so I just... Well, I don't... This guy... I told this man, I don't think you believe that. It's really not.
Man. It is.
If you don't know what we're talking about, I'm kind of glad that you don't know what we're talking about. Jim McElwain...
I'm not going to stop.
...was the coach at Florida. He's been coach with Alabama. He's been all over the place.
He's been on some boats.
I'm sure he has been on a boat, but not that boat. And so then there was a picture that went viral a couple of years. Was it a shark or a dolphin?
It's a shark. It's definitely
of a
shark.
Nude man.
Just, all you have to do is Google coach
spooning
shark
with the shark. Mm-hmm. And then someone on an SEC website said, "Hey, that looks like Jim McElwain." And so then all of the fans
did look like him.
Well, he's happy.
So then all the fans.
I mean, I'm sad for that shark.
So then you got Florida coming to town,
shark
right? Florida at Mississippi State or whatever. Then you got a bunch of smart-ass kids holding up pictures of, you know, hey, coach, you know, what,
yeah.
of him. And it's not him, but, you know.
Yeah.
And so it got to the point where this poor coach had to address this. The press guy was, hey, look, it's not me.
I didn't hump a shark.
And then you got, and so now I thought that was done after he got fired by Florida. So we don't have to bring this up. So then, of course.
Oh, we're bringing it up.
Mizzou's playing Central Michigan. Who's the coach? Jim McElwain, who, by the way.
Not a lot of sharks in Michigan.
Had appendicitis, and now he had an appendectomy or whatever. And so he had surgery yesterday, and he doesn't need to be answering these questions. And so then Jake starts perpetuating this to the point where a good Mizzou fan was like, I heard Jake. It was him in the picture. It's not him in the picture.
It's him.
It's absolutely not him.
Look at it.
I have looked at it because you said it to me all the time.
Jake,
seen it.
Jake does not, you know, he sometimes receives evidence that some people would say is like irrefutable, like from the source itself, and he doesn't believe it.
He's very
skeptical.
The best, I shouldn't even say the best. That's stupid. I saw a Photoshop where somebody put a Tennessee logo on the shark, and that's not. Funny.
I'm not trying to be funny.
Did he have a lot of success against Tennessee?
No, but just because they want.
They want to hump Tennessee.
You're asking me to tell you what they want. I don't know what they want. I'm telling you, I saw the meme where it looked like the shark played for Tennessee and then he was.
Getting humped by a shirtless Jim McElwain.
Well,
and pants.
Yeah, I was going to say, not just shirtless.
So, stop saying that.
And so, buck naked.
I did tell Lebo that he should ask Coach Jenkins about this. Like, do you believe this, or what do you say? Because
Jake would have some funny comments about it.
I don't know. He probably wants to stay far, far away from this.
Tell you what, I don't want to jump the shark here.
Right, so if you would please stop saying that, because people keep asking me.
Hey.
Like it's fact and it's not.
I'm going to stick to my guns on this
one.
Well,
I don't think you should, because there's
on
somebody
this one.
I'm stick
already
to my
admitted
pole.
To being in the picture, and it wasn't Jim McElroy.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I don't believe him.
It's kind of like the KU uniform thing. It's like, well, but they say it's powder blue. No, it's not powder blue.
It's aqua.
They can call it whatever they want.
They can.
They're like, but the color's up to his perception or whatever.
Right.
But
it's aqua.
When a guy says, hey, it was me on the boat, not the coach, and he's still saying, well, no, it's the coach.
That sounds like a cover story. Sounds like McElwain found somebody to stand in and take the heat for him.
I want him hooked up to a
what
polygraph.
I'm telling you, Mizzou fans, Jim McElwain was not on that boat, and you focus on the game and don't worry.
Let me ask you a question, Jake. Do you think you could pass a polygraph?
Yes.
No way.
You can lie your way through one?
Yes, I could.
See, so then why do you trust somebody else?
Because Jim McElwain, he can't.
He's not as good of a liar as you.
I'm a proven good liar.
Are you?
Yes.
We might need to walk that one back a little bit.
No, I am. I'm good.
That's it. Look, hold on here. There's some pudding over here. Oh, there's some proof in it. Oh, boy. I don't know if we need to.
I'm one isolated.
Let me reel you back.
He didn't say he's mad at 1,000. He just said he's good.
Yeah. Good enough to pass a test. I'm prepared for. There's some tests that I'm not prepared for.
What's going on here?
Game of life.
I feel like we're going to Deion Clissow, and I feel like I've done right by Jim McElwain now.
That's fine.
I feel like I've done right by him. I've tried to establish him because I wanted to be. He's not.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to Deion Clissow after this
on
WHP. I've seen it.